Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm glad to see each and every one of you here today, and a special welcome to our guests and visitors. You will find at the end of your pews some sign-in sheets. If you would, just get them and pass them on down. We'd love to have a record of everyone's attendance today. In your bulletin, there are many announcements, but I'd like to just lift up a couple. Teenagers will take place this Tuesday at noon. It's in the warehouse. All are invited. It's $7 for lunch. So please RSVP by tomorrow to the church office. And I understand we're going to have a very talented young magician there. So that sounds like it's going to be a very fun time. I don't know if you noticed in the back of the parking lot, there's a huge Huggin Hall storage. And that's for our upcoming garage sale, which will be July the 9th on a Saturday. So if you have any items you want to contribute, please bring them before July the 9th, obviously, and just drop them off at the office, and we'll get them stored for you. The funds raised are going to benefit our children, the ACCDC, and our children's ministries, so it's going to be a great cause. And speaking of children, I see we have a few here today. Guess what's coming up? VBS, Vacation Bible School, is going to be June the 27th through the 30th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. each night. It's open to children aged 4 up through the 5th grade, and it's always a great time. Are we still needing workers? And we're still needing workers, so anyone that can help out, even if it's just one night, please contact Amy or Laura or the church office and let them know. And now I invite you all to stand and greet each other with the peace of Christ. Stand and join us as we praise the Lord with hymn number 568, Christ for the World We Sing.
All the children to come to the front. All right, good morning. How are you guys? Good. Okay, do y'all know what this is? Do you have any guesses? Okay, Mary, what do you think? Body moisturizer, January, what do you think? Shampoo or something. It's actually, what this is called is it's after sun lotion. When do you think you'd use after sun lotion? After you get sunburned, exactly. You know, sometimes when you get sunburned, your skin starts itching, right? Has anybody up here ever been sunburned? Yeah, it's bad, right? You have to put this lotion on. And sometimes if you go outside and play, you know, you'll get a sunburn. You turn really red, and then after a couple days, what starts happening? It starts peeling and flaking and itching, and you're not really supposed to, like, scratch it, right? Because then it just flakes, and it gets gross and yucky. And it's an uncomfortable feeling, but it's not hopeless, right? We can put on some of this lotion, and we can just wait a couple days, and then what will eventually happen? It'll go away, right? It gets better. Everything's back to normal. Life is okay. Everything's better again. And sometimes we may find ourselves in a situation where we're uncomfortable, like when we have a sunburn. But sometimes there may come a situation in our lives that seems more hopeless. People may feel hopeless if they lose their job, or maybe if they have to move very far away, or if a loved one gets sick or dies, something like that. And then we feel really hopeless. When that happens, where can we turn? When we find ourselves in a hopeless situation, that lotion's not going to help us, right? What's going to help us in a truly hopeless situation? Jesus and God. Exactly. Jesus is our only hope in situations like that. Can we pray? Can everybody bow their heads and pray? Dear Father, you sent your Son to bring hope to the hopeless. When we find ourselves in a hopeless situation, we will put our hope and trust in Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I invite you to look at the prayer list in our bulletin of those we need to hold up in our thoughts, in our prayers, and please add Reverend Tom Weir to that list, who is ill. And now let us pray. Lord, we have chosen to be here today, to be present in this space, to worship and give honor to you, to thank you for all you have given us, and to be encouraged to be more faithful in our living. We have come from a week that many may have felt left them weary, or may have increased their anxiety or resulted in complications to their life. Others have had a week that was exhilarating and worth celebrating, maybe even relaxing due to vacation. But God, wherever we have come from, we focus on you right now as the giver of life and love to us. We take with faith that whatever may come in front of us in this new week, we will address with a spirit of grace and strength. When we see others who struggle, fall, or face seemingly insurmountable problems, we will grab them close and walk with them as you walk with them, Lord. We know you promised to us that we will never be separated from your love, that nothing can come in between God's love for us. And so we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. On our mission moment, I want to call to your attention Sunday, June the 26th, which will be Stone Soup once again at Quapaw Quarter United Methodist Church. We encourage you to help serve a meal to the homeless at this church, our fellow our fellow church in the United Methodist denomination. And now we continue in prayer. Lord, we share in so many things with one another. We share prayers with one another. We share faithful living with one another. May we also share our giving to you, that it may be used to help others and grow your kingdom. Amen. Please join us in the hymn of meditation number 395, Take Time to Be Holy.
Oh. For those of you who may not know me, or if you're our guest this morning, I am Megan Arnold, and I'm one of the lay speakers in our church. And it's my honor and my privilege to be with you this morning while I fill in for Reverend Mary as she takes a well-deserved vacation. As I share with you a portion of God's Word today, words that are alive and active, full of promise and hope, I hope that you will rejoice today in the hope that comes from knowing Christ. And if you are in a time where your hope needs to be renewed, I hope that you can leave this place today feeling that. Hear these words as they are read aloud from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. All praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been given new birth, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last day for all to see. So be truly glad and rejoice. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you may have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. But your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and honor and glory on the last day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. So I think I was destined to be a rock collector. I can remember as a child walking up and down my gravel driveway looking for crystals or precious stones. We had quite a bit of acreage and there weren't many kids around to play with, so I had quite an active imagination. My grandmother and her best friend, who I call my Aunt Barbara, and her grandson, who at the time was my childhood best friend, used to take us to hot springs quite a bit. We went to Magic Springs and would troll around hot springs looking for new things to do. And one day it was raining at the park, so we had to leave. So my grandmother and my Aunt Barbara took us to the Hot Springs Mountain Tower. I don't know if you've ever been there, but there was threat of a storm and lightning, so we couldn't go up in the tower. So we spent quite a bit of time in the gift shop. And I can remember walking around looking for just the perfect thing to take home. And there it was, iron pyrite. And I thought that I was rich. So my Nana brought it, and as we were riding home, I talked about it the whole way home. And later on, I figured out that it was fool's gold. So in my adult life, I have continued my collection of stones and crystals and rocks, and I'm particularly fond of amethyst and also clear quartz. And some of these stones that I collect are pretty rare and very beautiful. And in fact, Arkansas and Brazil are the only places in the world that you can find any clear quartz that's of real value. And so I pride myself on having a growing collection of that. But even in all of their beauty and their intrigue, they still pale in comparison to what God has waiting for us because of our hope in Christ. Our passage today tells us that we have a living hope and that we can look forward to a priceless inheritance, one that is not affected by change and decay. I'm a nurse practitioner, and a lot of my day is spent with older patients, many of whom either have or have had cancer. And I hear a lot of stories about how times have changed, how this item formerly cost this much, and now it's over $4, or how whenever they were growing up, such and such part of Little Rock didn't even exist, or that the interstates are so different now, or how certain social issues weren't even things to be considered, And the list goes on and on and on. So although I'm young, I too have seen many changes throughout my life. But isn't it a comfort that even when we find ourselves in times of trial or change or what appears to be chaos, that God does not change? Peter tells us that these times of trial are making our faith more genuine. Now, I don't know about you, but I really like whenever I meet a genuine person, somebody that you just know by talking to them, they're the real deal. And so Peter tells us that these times are making our faith to where we're becoming more of the real deal, even though sometimes it can be a little bit uncomfortable. But God's there, even when you're in the middle of a great trial. Reverend Mary preached a series not too terribly long ago about Psalm 23, and she reminded us that God goes through the valley with us, that he hasn't left us. And on the other side, we can find our faith and our hope renewed in knowing that God has never left our side. I can say that my faith is more real than what it was even 5 years ago, because with each trial, particularly as I get older and my patience is a little less resilient, I have to rely on God more and more. And I know that many of you in this room may have had some of these same experiences where when you feel like just one more thing, you're just not going to be able to overcome. And I've had days like that myself. There have been days when I felt I can't go on one more step, not even one more day, but God renews me. And it's a comfort to me, even though those trials are uncomfortable, that during those processes, God is refining me, melting away those impurities so that way I can become more like him. That gold, whenever it's been purified, you can look at it and see your reflection. And so during those times, I hope that God is able to see more of himself by looking at me. If I had to put that fool's gold that I had to the fire, it would not have stood the test. So praise God that he's made us in his image to where we can stand some of those trials. But God says that we are even more, far more precious than gold. Hear these words from Jesus as recorded in John 14, verses 16 through 18. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives in you now and will continue. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. What great love is that, that he did not abandon us after he went to the cross? The love that we have been shown through Jesus and in him sending this advocate, some other texts call him a comforter or a counselor or a helper even. There's several translations. But that's what makes the last piece of our text today possible. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Unfortunately, in my line of work, sometimes we do have to send people on hospice because their cancer is not able to be cured. But some of those patients, I see such a relief, almost a joy, because they have a hope of what is waiting for them on the other side. And we have that same hope that we can count on. Even if we aren't at the brink of death, we know that God is there through every trial, no matter how small it seems or how large. Our writer Peter was called by Jesus early in his ministry from a career of fishing. If you recall, he was once Simon, and he and three others were called from their work as fishermen to follow Jesus. And Jesus even predicted that Peter would die one day for his faith. He saw the Pharisees try to snare Jesus in arguments about the law or what was right or what you could do on the Sabbath. He was present whenever Jesus was arrested and apparently cut off someone's ear. He then saw Jesus led away and to his trial and subsequent death. And he even denied Jesus three times. but then later became a wonderful missionary and writer and preacher, and tell of the hope that God can give. He was very bold in a time that persecution was great. We're so blessed that we don't really have that in this country, although we hear stories all the time of other places. He wrote the book of 1 Peter about 30 years after Jesus had died, and not too terribly long before his own death, about 5 to 7 years before. He knew quite a bit about trials because he was imprisoned, he had been beaten, he was bold in spite of his imprisonment and subsequently won over the guards and even other fellow prisoners to Jesus. And this was the same Peter that sank in the waves when Jesus called out to him to walk on the water with him. His faith wasn't quite so great at that time, but he shows us that our faith can grow and that our hope in Christ can be restored. And here he is, writing as an encouragement to other people who are being persecuted or going through many various trials in their life. So how do you respond to times of trial? Do you draw on the Holy Spirit to fill you up? And today, as we partake in communion, communion is one of my favorite Sundays. I just feel so close to God whenever we get to partake in his meal that he shared with his disciples. I hope that you will be mindful that we are truly one with Christ and one with the Holy Spirit, that he asked God to send us to stay with us during trial and tribulation that we have here on earth, and that we have a living hope that is able to sustain us in an ever-darkening world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And now I'll invite Colleen to preside over our communion table.
If you will turn to page 12 in your hymnals. Reverend Chase consecrated the elements for us earlier today since Reverend Weir is sick. Let's join together on page 12. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. For us, for joyful obedience, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, if you wish to silently offer your prayers to God. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Lord, we give thanks that the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon these gifts of bread and wine and all of us here. As we eat and drink, may we become the body of blood of Christ to go out to the world and serve others. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The United Methodist Church has an open table. All are welcome to partake of Christ's meal. This is Christ's table for all of us. We do have a gluten-free option. If you need that option, just please ask your server. And now I invite those who are going to help serve communion to come forward.
Beautiful.
please stand for our hymn of commitment number 365, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
So much for being here this morning and partaking with us in Holy Communion. If you will, please bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the gift that you have given us, your Son, Jesus Christ, and thank you for the communion that we have with you and your Son and the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that we will go out as lights into the world, and may we be a beacon of hope to those who are in need. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.